Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
The Laver Cup is off and running. Casper Ruud put Team Europe on the board first with a straight set win over American Riley Opelka. And then the match you just saw, Matteo Berrettini coming back as Team Europe on the way to defending the cup. Here's a look back at the three previous editions of this incredible event.
New format, something we've never seen before.
Too big, too strong, too fast, and simply too good. Roger Federer claims the Laver Cup.
Laver Cup 2018.
These matches, every single one of them, incredible spine-tingling stuff.
Team Europe goes back-to-back.
Down to the wire, and Team Europe wins the Laver Cup for the third year in a row.
Well, Boston fans have seen their Bruins raise the Stanley Cup 6 times, but which team will they witness sipping champagne out of the Laver Cup? Welcome to TC Live, the City of Champions, welcoming tennis's best and brightest stars to town. And we welcome you to TC Live, the bridge between the day session and the night session. Take a look at what we have seen thus far. Team Europe out to a blazing start. Casper Ruud with a straight set win over Riley Opelka, and Matteo Berrettini coming back to beat Felix Auger-Aliassime in a match tiebreak 10-8. Still two more matches to come. One singles between Rublev and Schwartzman, and then our first doubles of this year's Laver Cup. Hi there, Steve Weissman alongside my friends Chanda Rubin and Nick Monroe. It's the Laver Cup. You know the vibes. What did you think, Chanda, of the day session and Matteo Berrettini pulling it out in the end?
It was an incredible match for Berrettini. It looked like he was kind of down and out, like Auger-Aliassime had all the momentum. But I think it was key, that first set where Berrettini really made a stand, came back, made it tough, put a little tension in that match, and was able to get it in the end in that match tiebreak.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, he saved 12 of 13 break points throughout that entire match. So that was an incredible performance by him, and just to be able to keep fighting back and just stay in the moment.
So Team Europe, 2-0 lead. But we've got two more matches tonight. So Team World can leave the day one, at least tied up. Roger Federer, he started the day with this tweet. Everybody happy to see the man who helped create the Laver Cup. Chanda, hello, Boston. Fed's in the house.
Yeah, it was great to see him in the stands. We weren't really sure. He must have snuck in maybe last night or early this morning, but supporting the event. And, of course, we saw Rod Laver as well, who this event is named for. So it was just the vibe today. First day of Laver Cup, you felt the energy. Everybody was pumped. And this was one of the great moments.
Yeah, and you better believe his physio is there. He's still keeping up with his rehab because he's taking it slow, but hopefully he'll be back sooner than later.
That was the biggest ovation we heard from TD Garden all day long for the great Roger Federer, obviously leading Team Europe the first 3 times to titles. Mm-hmm. We'll see what he does, if he's going to get on the bench.
Can he lead them again? Is that what you're saying, Steve?
Yeah, he's bringing the energy from the stands. He's definitely bringing it, that's for sure.
He had the bench, he was up on his feet. I mean, it was great.
Good to see Roger Federer. We'll hear more from Roger Federer coming up on TC Live about the rehab that Nick was talking about earlier. If you are new to Laver Cup, welcome to this amazing event. Here's a quick introduction to catch you up on what it's all about.
The Laver Cup is named in honor of the greatest tennis player of the 20th century, Australia's Rod Rocket Laver. Tennis superstars from Europe team up to take on their counterparts from the rest of the world. Rivals become teammates. Each team is made up of 6 players. 3 of the 6 earn an invitation based on their ATP singles ranking, and the other 3 players are captain's picks. Matches are the best of 3 sets with ad scoring. In the event of split sets, the 3rd set will be a 10-point tiebreak. Matches are worth 1 point on day one, 2 points on day two, and 3 points on day three. The first team to reach 13 points will be the winner. If it's tied after all 12 matches are played, a final decider match will determine the champion. So it's time to choose a side. The best on the planet. Rivals last week, teammates this week. All vying for the greatest trophy in team tennis, the Laver Cup.
Like the Hunger Games mixed with tennis. You got to love that. What do you think? I mean, what separates Laver Cup to you from all the other team competitions that we've seen?
You know, I think a big part of it is how they put the teams together. And you heard on that board say, you know, rivals last week, teammates this week. That's kind of the really cool part about it. And it's not just players from the same country. It's from the different parts of the world. And like in the first edition where we got to see Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal on the same side of the court.
Play doubles together.
I think that's what really sets the competition apart. It creates a different level of excitement. And it's just a lot of fun to see the players with a different energy.
This is something, I mean, you're in the locker room with the guys. Are they talking about the Laver Cup bigger than anything else?
Yeah, I mean, this is talked about throughout the entire year, just getting ready for the Laver Cup. And again, like in the locker room, the players we're all friends. We all go practice together and whatnot. But when it comes to the Laver Cup and whatnot, it kind of, you're on a team, you're playing for something else other than yourself, you're playing for each other. And so they just get super pumped up for it.
All right, Team Europe, all players in the top 10. Team World trying to win for the very first time. And we had a bunch of guys playing for the first time in the Laver Cup, starting with these two, Chanda. Casper Ruud just beat Riley Opelka in Cincinnati. Took a bagel set off the big American. He got an early break today.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a matchup issue, especially on these courts, a little bit slower. Ruud, so good in that type of situation. Quick start in the first set and was just quick off the ball, was able to get on top of Opelka again. The forehand did a lot of damage into the second set, and you kind of wondered, would Opelka really be able to sink his teeth into this match? He came in there, got past, but that type of aggressive play started to pay a few dividends for Opelka in the second set. He was able to get it down to the tiebreak, forehand off that racket really fast. But in the tiebreak, it was Ruud who was able to get off to a quick start. He was able to turn the tables, be a little bit more aggressive, and just out-positioning Opelka in the teeth of this match. You saw some confident tennis from Ruud, who's won a lot of matches this year, and that came to bear. And what a win for him, really setting the team up, getting that first win.
Yeah, setting the tone for Team Europe. Casper Ruud after the match. Jason Goodall spoke to the winner.
What adjustments did you have to make playing on a hard court against him as opposed to your favorite surface, which is obviously clay?
No, as many could see, I tried to stay in on the first serves and block the return, try to neutralize his serve. That's the only thing you can try to do. And I know that from the baseline, I've been playing well here all week and trying to play as many points as possible from the baseline. So that's always the plan. And it's not always that everything goes after the plan, but today it went. And it was just super fun and feel very happy to get Europe off to a good lead.
First Norwegian man to crack the top 10. Take a look at the match stats. Actually outserved Riley Opelka, Nick.
No, I mean outserved him there. But again, as Casper was talking about, he tried to play in on the return, just block it back in. Riley's used to getting a lot of free points. Casper is able to get the points started and use his big forehand. So that's what you see in the match stats. Normally Opelka has more than 66% winning percentage on that first serve. He obviously is pretty higher than that. But Casper was able to dig his teeth in that match and come away with the win.
He saved all three of the break points that he faced. He won half of the points on Riley Opelka's second serve. How important was that?
No, that was key. And it just allows you as a server, who's maybe not as big a server, allows you to be a little more relaxed when you go up to the line and you have the balls in your hand. And I think for Ruud, that allowed him to play more aggressively from the ground at times. He had a lot of winners, fewer unforced errors. And that helped. And he was just a more solid player today. Opelka was just a little bit off. And against a guy who's that confident with that many wins under his belt, it made for a tough day at the office.
We've heard, Nick, about the conditions of the court, TD Garden, that it's playing a little bit slower. What effect did that have?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've seen Casper Ruud play extremely well on the dirt. So then now with the slower hard court, he was able to step back on those second serves, make heavy returns to get the point started, and just be able to use his legs. He's very good with his legs, which always makes him extremely difficult on clay. So he's able to use that at TD Garden, and that helped him get the W.
All right, so Team Europe out to a 1-0 lead. Up next would be the match we just saw. Matteo Berrettini, Felix Auger-Aliassime, good friends. meeting for the fourth time, third this summer, and Felix started strong in this one, Nick.
Yeah, he started extremely strong. He actually ended up having 8 set points in this first set, but you saw him with that short forehand that he missed on one set point. There's another double fault, and Captain McEnroe, a little worried there, but Felix was able to get this first set, and you saw him there step back on the second serve return, get some good shape, get the point started, and get that first set. And then we go into the second set, and this is where Berrettini, he saved 4-4 break points that he had against him and was able to come up with some big serves, big forehands. Again, we talked about the speed of the court, and Berrettini was able to just unleash some forehands throughout this second set. And again, just good defense. And able to just keep the ball. This was an amazing lob. Keep the point going in that second set. Look at the energy that they're giving their man Berrettini, Team World. All right, Team Europe. And then here in the tiebreak, Berrettini just kept the point going. We saw Felix was up
7-5
in this tiebreaker. And then it got back to 7-all, and you just saw that they just got started getting a little bit nervous there in the 10-point breaker was Felix, just because he had so many chances. And Berrettini saved 12 of 13 break points throughout this entire match, and Felix kind of felt like that was weighing on him throughout this match. And then here with an amazing pass.
Can we talk about Nick? Felix changed one shoe at 7-5
exactly.
In the tie break.
Felix is up 7-5 in the breaker.
He's got to change both shoes.
Felix up 7-5 in the breaker, slid to hit his shot. The shoelace broke and actually went over the changeover, had to change shoes, only changed one of the shoe, and you said that was going to be the end of him. But as here we see the match stats. Felix, again, or the biggest match stat for me was just Berrettini saving 12 of 13 break points. I mean, it's not up there, but that was massive throughout this match. But Berrettini just showed some good stuff there at the end.
Listen, you bring up a great point, Chanda. It was 7-5. He changes one shoe. Not both shoes, one shoe.
I could not understand it.
It's like,
Steve.
Did he only have one left shoe in his bag? He definitely had two in there.
Shoes,
he had to.
Right? You know he had a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was a rookie mistake. And
actually, you have one used shoe and one new shoe, and that definitely feels different.
Yeah, for sure.
The momentum's going to be different heading into the night.
I mean,
Team World needed Felix to change both shoes. But we'll see if the shoe was on the other foot when it comes to the night session. We will be back with more TC Live after this, getting you all set for tonight. Diego Schwartzman and Andrei Rublev are first up on TD Garden Arena. Andy Murray in action in France, doing something he hasn't done all year long. We'll tell you what that is.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Chanda, Nick, Steve back with you on TC Live, one of the biggest tournaments of the year, back with a special fall edition. For the very first time, Tennis Channel has exclusive live coverage of the BNP Paribas Open from first ball all the way through the singles finals. The ATP and WTA action from Indian Wells, California begins on Wednesday, October 6th. We go to Metz in France, and we find Andy Murray playing his first quarterfinal of the year. Nick taking on Hubert Hurkacz, a rematch from Cincinnati that the Polish star won.
Yeah, you know, it's good to see Andy Murray obviously coming over with 2 wins before this match against Humbert Pospisil, but he had 3 break points in this first set. You see the frustration that he has here with not getting these break points. He just hasn't felt like he's coming up as clutch in those break point opportunities as he normally does. But for Hurkacz, he just stayed with it, got a lucky leg court here to win the first set. And after he won this first set, he just started swinging freely. Went up a break early, started serving bigger, hitting bigger. He had 13 aces throughout this match with 83% first serve point won. And he became solid as a rock throughout this match from that point on after winning the first. And now if he's moving on in net. Career best fourth semifinal of the season for Hurkacz. He is ninth in the race to Turin, having a fantastic season. Andy Murray, though, got to be pleased with making the quarterfinals here in France. Who will Hurkacz take on? Marcos Giron, Peter Goyavchek, both pulling off big upsets this week. The Americans took out Alex Demonor. Gojo beat Corinne Khachanov, Chanda.
Yeah, and Giron, his first blood there with that forehand, was able to get the first set tucked away. But Goyavchek turned the tables early in the second. And with that forehand, better court positioning, able to get a bit more aggressive, got the early break, and held on to his serve. He had a terrific serving day, Goyavchek, winning a high percentage behind the first serve. That allowed him to set up the forehand, take over the middle of the court, and in the end, in the third set, Giron double faulted to lose that one. Not a good feeling, but nice for Goyavchek turning that one around.
Second semifinal of the year. He is back in the top 100. When he's on, very tough to beat. So it's going to be Goyavchek against Hurkacz on one side, and then Gael Monfils, who's been playing very well of late, takes on Pablo Carreño Busta. Semifinals are set in Metz. One man not advancing, Andy Murray, but he is the one we're going to talk about because he had a couple of nice wins. Hugo Humbert, he beat him in three sets. He also took out Vasek Pospisil. This is a former world number one. This is a multiple-time major champion. Chanda, what was most encouraging to you about what you saw from Andy Murray this week?
Yeah, I thought he did a good job just managing his movement, the physical nature of some of these matches, and you talk about, you know, the major injuries that Andy Murray has had with the hip, and you just wondered how he would come back, if he would have a similar level of movement. It's not quite the way it was at his best, but he's a smarter player. He understands his game a bit more, and against a guy who's had a great year in Hurkacz, you know, he acquitted himself well. I think he should take a lot of positives from the results this week, from the wins that he had, and that's what you really need when you're working your way back from that kind of major injury. You need those little bits of encouragement that just tell you you're on the right track.
No, absolutely. I mean, this match against Hurkacz was an hour and 50 minutes, almost 2 hours long, and beating Humbert and Pospisil, two great players, you know, so to be able to feel like you can get through two tough players and then also get through a two-hour battle against Hurkacz, he's feeling like his body is ready to go. It can last a little bit longer. You're always a little bit worried when it comes to the hip, your movement, because his legs are everything, right? He needs his legs to be able to be successful, and now he's feeling like he can finally start to use his legs and be one of the top players again.
Listen, he took Tsitsipas to five sets of the U.S. Open as well. This is a guy who is showing that he can compete at the highest level. We'll see him in San Diego next week as well. The ladies are over in Ostrava. Been a great week of tennis so far in the Czech Republic. Iga Świątek, Chanda, top seed at a WTA event for the very first time, taking on the big-hitting Elena Rybakina.
Yeah, and this was a fantastic first set from Świątek. She got up the early break. But it was Rybakina who hits the ball big, who's had some good match wins this year, able to take it to the tiebreak. But it was Świątek again with her better movement, able to close off the court, able to spread her shots around when she needed to. And once she got that first set tucked away, she relaxed a little bit more. Świątek started hitting out. Again, you see the movement there, just getting to those extra balls, putting Rybakina in difficult positions. And Świątek able to close out a real confidence-boosting match getting through this one.
Yeah, she was superb behind that first serve, won more than 75% of those points. Iga is moving on to the semifinals. How about Maria Sakkari at a career-high 12 in the world, looking for her first title this year, taking on the local favorite, Tereza Martintseva.
Yeah, she only won 61% of her first serve percentage points, but you see how well she moves. She goes from defense to offense so well, as you saw in the pass earlier. And then again, she's got a big forehand, so she's able to move her opponents around. And then when she's able to use that drop shot after moving her, pushing her opponents back behind the court, that is lethal. And so confidence breeds confidence. You know, she made the semifinals U.S. Open, so now she's feeling good and on to another semifinal here in Ostrava after winning this match.
That's match point for Maria Sakkari. She is moving on. The one thing that's tough for her, when she makes the semifinals, 0 for 5 this year in the Final Four, and has lost 9 semifinals in a row. Can she break the streak against Iga Świątek?
I mean, we've got to look at the glass half full, Steve. She's getting to those semifinals.
I was being a negative Nancy there.
Yeah, totally. Yes, and two of them at majors, so that is a good sign for Sakkari, who is playing some fantastic
tennis.
9
semifinals. I will. I mean, keep putting yourself in that position. Wouldn't you, Steve?
Absolutely. If I'm Felix, I take 8 finals, right? Finals. Okay, it doesn't matter. Whatever. Yeah. Kontaveit and Kvitova there at the bottom as well. Great semifinal lineup in Ostrava. Andre Rublev, Diego Schwartzman, they are coming up to start the night session. TD Garden right there in Boston. We are looking forward to it.
But look at Jack Sock and John Isner hitting some balls out there. Isner getting ready for his doubles match later tonight.
And this is what's still to come on TC Live as we get you set for the night session. Roger Federer will tell us how he's doing in terms of that rehab to the knee. It's one of the greatest rivalries in the history of the sport. We'll take you inside Borg McEnroe, the two captains. And, well, is there a new bathroom break policy coming to tennis? We'll let you know. Stay with us. TC Live leading up to the night session in Boston. Andre Rublev, Diego Schwartzman meeting for the second time. It was Rublev that won in five sets at Roland Garros 4 years ago. Courts are slow. People of Boston used to winning and seeing sports dynasties. And will we get another one? Team Europe has been an absolute dynasty when it comes to the Laver Cup. Three straight wins from Prague to Chicago to Geneva. The Team World, very close a couple years ago. Roger Federer played a big part in getting that win, helped create this event in 2017 as a way to shine a light on the legends like Rod Laver and many, many others who paved the way for today's stars. He is in Boston to support Team Europe and gave us an update on his health.
Rehab is going really good, I must say. I've had no setbacks. You know, every day is a better day. I'm feeling strong and excited for what's to come. I experienced it, of course, already a little bit last year, and I was actually surprised how somewhat easy it was for me to go through the rehab process, because I know it's not everybody's favorite thing to do, especially as a top athlete. But I think maybe after all these years of traveling, it's also always nice to be home, having more time for the family and other things. Of course, I wish I could be back on the tennis court as quick as possible, but I have to be patient. And look, it's a slower period right now. And I got to take it step by step. And so far, so good. So I'm very happy.
So far, so good. That's what we like to hear. He's in Boston. He seems jovial. He seems happy. And he seems like he's on track. What did you take away from what you just heard?
No, absolutely. I mean, obviously, being an older athlete, it's going to take time. And he knows that. So, you know, we want Roger back on the court. So as long as it takes, just take your time and get back out there when you can.
Yeah, and of course wants to be as close to his best as possible, and you have to work your way sort of into matches again. But there's a fine line between, you know, working your way into matches and being healthy and being ready to play. So sometimes you've got to kind of gauge that. Roger Federer seems to have a really good handle on what that looks like for him. He's played a long time. He's played in a lot of different situations, and you figure he's going to come back when he knows he's ready.
Yeah, and as an athlete, I mean, we always want to be on the court. We always want to be training. We always want to try to get that edge over our opponents, but for him, it's more about the rehab and the rest. And as he was talking about family time, I mean, that's extremely important. So when he does come back, he'll be extremely 100% ready to go.
He's taking the best out of everything. So you get some time off. You get to spend time with the family. He's embracing the rehab. We see wherever he goes, he is completely beloved by the tennis community. As you see earlier today at TD Garden, Roger Federer. I mean, literally a standing ovation for this guy. He says he wants to play the Laver Cup next year, which is at the O2 Arena in London. When he left, I mean, he's still making quarterfinals at a major. So this guy is still at the top of the game, still a top 10 player right now.
Yeah, no, we're so used to him winning everything, right? So we're like, only made quarterfinals? No, that's still pretty good, let's be honest. But, I mean, how clean does the guy look? The guy always looks so fresh and clean, Roger Federer, huh?
Especially being at home with 4-plus kids.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
And I say plus because he's got twins. That's got to be like double. But
exactly.
It's amazing how he just seems to be in such a great space. And he seems to, you know, think of things in the right way, and certainly this is giving him a little taste of what life will be like after tennis, but he seems eager to get back as well.
Listen, he's done so much, 103 titles, he's got 20 majors, still tied for the top right now. When he comes back, it's all about winning, right? It's still all about winning majors. It's not just about making the quarterfinals.
Well, of course, I mean, you have to think that for Roger Federer, you know, it's disappointing to him, you know, quarterfinals, even losing in a final, you know, it's like he's out there to win majors, to add to that tally and feel like, you know, he's playing his best, especially on those surfaces like, you know, grass in particular, the surfaces where he has been so dominant. So that's for sure going to be the goal. I mean, you've got to imagine he's looking at where he will be, you know, come Wimbledon time, and then, you know, looking at Laver Cup as well.
No, I'd agree with you, Shannon. I mean, obviously, he's going to tailor his schedule to his best surfaces, which will be the grass, and maybe If he can come back for Australia, that'd be great. But again, he wants to just tailor it to where he can win one more slam, maybe two more, because he's looking at Novak. He knows where Novak and Rafa, you know, tied. So yeah, it'll be fun to see him come back and hopefully see what he can do.
Crazy that we're ending this year 2020.
Yeah,
amazing.
It's wild. Much more still to come here on TC Live as we lead you to the night session in Boston. That is coming up next. The chase for the championships, 4 a.m. Eastern overnight. TC Live right back with you, 12:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, leading up to the day session at TD Garden. Day two from the Laver Cup tomorrow. Everything's worth 2 points, but two more matches tonight. Ruben Monroe Weissman back on TC Live. Here is where we stand so far. Day one, day session, Casper Ruud and Matteo Berrettini giving Team Europe a 2-0 lead on Team World. Coming up tonight, we are just hearing 7:45 Eastern is the walkouts for Andrei Rublev and Diego Schwartzman. That'll be followed by our first doubles match. Sasha Zverev, Matteo Berrettini going up against Big John Isner and Denis Shapovalov. Well, the biggest stars may be on the benches. Fire and ice. John McEnroe and Bjorn Borg renew their rivalry as Laver Cup captains.
John McEnroe, currently Wimbledon's public enemy number one. Bjorn Borg, the hero, already a four-time champion. Now, the main course.
We are a little bit different, I think. You could see that on the court. I think he's more aggressive.
Leon, stop the referee. Leon,
stop playing. Is it
called out? You are getting a public warning.
We have different styles, obviously, but you can't argue with his results, and sometimes he does like rubbing it in a little bit, which I don't particularly care for, but I have to accept it.
So this, to me, is going to sting for quite a while. This room really hurts.
I'll tell you one thing. I hope it's going to sit for quite a while with him. For many years to come. We are sitting here today. We won. Simple as that.
That's right.
Come on. Well, that's very cruel. That's unnecessary for someone who's supposedly so mild-mannered. And, even keeled, I would be surprised. He must have been celebrating with his players, but... deep down, I mean, he was a killer at heart on the court. I know that because I played him a bunch of times. And, he wanted it more than almost anyone that ever played the game. And he gave it his all while he played.
Many years ago, we were competing against each other. And now we are captain to different teams.
To me, the Laver Cup was the most innovative and exciting thing that had happened in 10 years in tennis.
To be part of the Laver Cup, it's for me, and I'm sure for John too, it's a big honor for both of us to be captains for the teams.
I mean, these guys are absolute legends. It is so cool to have them as captains during the Laver Cup. Bjorn Borg, John McEnroe, they played 14 times at the professional level on tour, 7 apiece. But now Borg, 3-0 when it comes to the Laver Cup. And Cheta, when they played, I mean, they always played big matches.
Yeah.
9 finals. 4 semifinals. The other one was in the year-end finals.
Well, they were two players at the top of the game, so they weren't going to be playing in the first round. But it's amazing how they brought it in those big matches. And, you know, you saw kind of the opposite styles in terms of how they played, even their demeanors, what seemed to be how they thought on court. And yet it was always kind of fun and entertaining. And watching clips of some of the matches, it's unbelievable. You can serve in volley, Steve. I mean, like that's the other part. That is still a thing.
Yeah.
McEnroe did it so well, but Borg, I mean, the perfect foil at times.
Yeah, and Borg talks about how, you know, they were both fighting for number one and obviously just respected each other so well. They still talk frequently, call each other, family see each other. And, and they're just two completely different people. I mean, you see McEnroe when he's coaching the team, he's actually coaching him and he's on the guys and Felix, you got to do this and that. And whereas Borg's kind of listening and maybe not even saying anything and letting the players talk to the other players on the team. And he just kind of sits back. So they're two completely different coaching styles as well, along with their playing styles.
Yeah, you can totally see their personalities come out on the bench.
Yeah.
As captains, Chanda, somebody who played for a legend, Billie Jean King, when it came to the Fed Cup, what do you think it's like for these players?
I mean, it's incredible. I also played on a team tennis team with Bjorn Borg, so that was super cool when I was really young coming out and, you know, kind of just being around that aura. But playing for Billie Jean King, you know, you just want to play your best. You want, you know, to show what you have. And then you have, you know, this legend on the side giving you advice, encouraging you. That, I think, is an incredible experience for any player. And it's one of those things that, especially when you're developing, that, you know, there's nothing that can replace that, you know, that kind of experience. And so I always appreciated that in Fed Cup, which is now the Billie Jean King Cup. And for these players, you see that kind of energy.
Yeah.
You know, they want to bring it. And it's not about, you know, points. It's not about money. It's about just giving your best, showing what you have and what you've worked for.
What has Jack Sock told you about what it's like to have John McEnroe there on the bench with him?
Well, I mean, he was talking about, look, I mean, it's amazing just to listen to him and the experience, and you can see the sparkle in Jack's eyes. I can see the sparkle in Felix's eyes when John McEnroe was telling him what to do today. It was just kind of like they were still in awe and shock of, this is actually my captain, you know. But, yeah, they're in the moment, and you want to play for your teammates, but you're also playing for John McEnroe because you feel that energy of he wants to win, right? So that's what they're playing for.
Chanda, tell me some more about playing with Bjorn on the same team.
that was pretty cool.
Was he pretty laid back and chilled out? He had to have been chilled out.
Super chill, but he
knew the vibe?
He knew the vibe.
Okay.
You know the vibe. But no, I mean, it was an incredible experience because, yeah, I didn't know what to expect, and I think I was about 16 at the time, and, you know, just watching kind of how he went about things. Of course, he was retired at this point, but still playing good tennis. Didn't hardly have to practice, and then he'd go out and just be slapping the ball around. That part was amazing. But just a very, very quiet, underspoken personality. But you could tell when he was out there, that little bit of fire that would come out, you know, in matches. It was a great experience.
That's so cool. And for John McEnroe, what a cool experience in Boston. He's a huge New York Mets fan. We've seen him with the cap on, walking out Fenway Park, one of the greatest ballparks in the history of the sport. And he's got that lefty swing. Johnny Mac, lefty, so he doesn't have to worry about the green monster either, Nick.
I mean, look, I feel like this guy could do anything he wants to do. He's going to find a way. He's got that passion and fire to do anything.
Yeah. There it is.
Look at that.
Just such a great athlete and the talent, the racket talent, and you figure that can translate, you know, to other sports for sure. But there's no personality like John McEnroe.
Yeah. No, I mean, these two are folks that are absolute legends. And Bjorn Borg, he's got a son, Leo Borg, that we saw at Roland Garros make a nice run in the juniors. Also was in the U.S. Open juniors. And he's rising up the ranks right now.
Yeah, and I've met him a few times. He's very soft-spoken as well, but he's extremely hard worker. He came to the Necker Cup when I went there, and then he played in Bolstad when I was at the ATP event there. He was playing in the Challenger and then played qualies at the ATP event. But it'll be fun to watch him come up. He works hard and soft-spoken like his dad, so we'll see what happens.
Those are big shoes to fill.
Hopefully he doesn't feel like he has to fill them.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can be his own person, play his own game, which we kind of saw that a bit at Roland Garros this year, where he just battled. He got down and he fought, and it wasn't about, you know, who his dad was, what his name was. It was just about matching up against his opponent, and it's part of why he was able to do so well. So hopefully he can keep that mindset.
And also it keeps Bjorn in the game because he's going to be coming to watch his son play. So that's cool to see as well. We'll keep an eye on the captains throughout the night here on Tennis Channel. We are leading up to our night session from Boston. It's Andre Rublev, Diego Schwartzman up first. 7:45 p.m. Eastern is when we will get things going at TD Garden. Welcome back. One big story on and off court this summer has been the amount of time it takes Stefano Tsitsipas to use the bathroom. Alexander Zverev called him out in Cincinnati for an extended trip to the restroom and accused the Greek star of taking his cell phone with him. And then Andy Murray went off on Tsitsipas during the first round of the U.S. Open and tweeted, quote, "It takes Stefanos twice as long to go to the bathroom as it takes Jeff Bezos to fly into space," end quote. Tsitsipas said he is not breaking any rules. Novak Djokovic supported him, but there may be a rule change. Take a look at this. The men's governing body says that they may impose stricter rules on bathroom breaks. Let's talk about it. The bathroom brouhaha, one of our big tennis topics. Steve Weissman, Chanda Rubin, Nick Monroe. What should we do here, Nick? What should we make a rule that there is a time limit for when? I mean, you're still out there. You can only take so long to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's got to be a time limit, right? I mean, if you're taking 8 to 10 minutes, and for a guy like Murray, who's 34 years old, he has to sit there, his body cools down, and then when he comes back out, he's not really ready to go. So I feel like there's got to be some sort of a time limit. I'm not going to be the one to tell you the number.
Give us a number.
I'm going to give you a number. I'm going to say 5 minutes.
Okay. How long does it take you?
Yeah. I'm just going to go with 2.5 minutes, okay? Like, I can go bathroom, come back in 2.5. Depends on how far the locker room is, Steve. You're putting me on the spot here.
I felt like that was a little personal.
Yeah. I had to think about it. Yeah.
It's a bathroom break segment.
No, so, I mean, I, again, Cincy Bus took 7.5 minutes, yeah. and that's a long time, right? And I feel like you can, and especially at the U.S. Open, the locker room is not far from stadium court. I mean, it's literally 30 steps off the court. Bathroom's right there. Use the bathroom. Come back. So, again, I'm going 5 minutes
or less.
Change of
clothes as well, right?
So change of clothes, but you can be quick with that. You can be quick with that.
5 minutes, Chanda. Yeah. What say you?
Well, I think that's kind of the issue is how far the bathroom is from the court, depending on where you're playing and how that venue is set up. And at the U.S. Open, it's really close, and so it stood out even more that this bathroom break went on and on and on. I think you've got to kind of figure that part out in terms of how long it takes to get to some of the bathroom areas from the court. But certainly maybe just set out, you know, have a set amount of time in between sets or in between a second and third set or fourth and fifth set where players can go off, do whatever they need to do, both players. And so that, you know, one player doesn't feel like the other is doing it as gamesmanship or to cool them off a little bit. One of those bathroom breaks Tsitsipas took after he won the set. You know, mm-hmm. It was just a bit strange. Yeah. And so for some players, they just need that kind of time to just reset. That's fine, but just make it uniform, make it so everyone understands, and a player isn't sitting there having to guess, like, when is the match going to start again? That's the worst part.
And almost, I think, as we were talking about how far the bathroom is from the court, maybe you start a timer as soon as the person gets to the bathroom. As soon as they get to the locker room, okay, now the timer starts, because sometimes the bathroom is far away in some of these places, but in other places, it's right around the corner. So, but I'm still sticking with 5 minutes or less.
Yeah, I just think it needs to be uniform, because it can't be tournament by tournament.
By tournament. Yeah.
And depending how far the locker room is from each event, if it's 5 minutes, a run, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get there and
get that sweat on and get your business done and get back to the court.
But I think if you did have a set amount of time in between these sets that players could take, then everybody would know. Everybody would have that time frame, you know, in their minds. And, you know, I think you would have more players taking advantage of it. And, you know, those players would not then feel taken advantage of if they have that same opportunity. And it's not just part of, oh, this player is deciding, you know, because they're losing. So I think you can, you know, have something a little more uniform. It would help with television as well. Because, you know, when we're on the other side now, we're, you know, having to feel like we're doing right now. Right. We're just having to talk. We don't know what's going on. So I think if you had a set amount of time, it would help for all the entities involved.
All right. We hope that happens. By the way, Tsitsipas did not break a single rule.
Right.
No. There is no rule.
There is no rule.
He could have taken a half hour, and that still wouldn't have been breaking a rule. Sasha Zverev, he was not pleased at all in Cincinnati, made a big stink about Tsitsipas leaving the court and leaving with his entire bag. So, Nick, what do you make of him taking his entire bag? Because he also made a big accusation. He accused him of texting with his dad.
Well, the thing is, when we do walk off the court, you have an umpire who goes with you off the court. So they're actually in the locker room with you. But then if you do go in the stall, okay, they're not going to follow you in there. So, you know, does Zverev know if he took his cell phone? Cell phone could have been in the bag. But again, you know, I feel like you shouldn't be able to take your whole bag. It should be, if you're taking clothes, okay, take that with you, and then that's it. But to take your whole bag, and there we see.
This didn't help the situation.
Texting. So that does not help the situation.
The
Yeah. Okay, hits his Zverev's forehand and then run him this way. Yeah, that did not look good for the Tsitsipas camp right there.
But it was interesting kind of where that accusation came from. Was it just because of Tsitsipas' dad texting at that time? Or was it something he's seen? Or is it something he's done? Zverev, I mean, how do you, how did you come up with that accusation?
I think it's something that he's seen and it's been talked about in the locker room. And then when you have the dad texting away and Zverev sees that, then it's an automatic, like, I'm going to blow up.
Stefano Tsitsipas, by the way, said he did not take his cell phone, did not do any texting. And then the next tournament, he brings a clear bag with his clothes.
With his clothes, you could see.
There was no
cell
phone.
Fair enough.
In there.
Fair play.
I like that. You know the vibe.
You know the vibe. By the way, the vibe's a little awkward in Boston. They're on the same team. So how's that going to work out with Zverev and Tsitsipas now?
Well, I think they've been sitting on opposite sides of the bench. So it would be interesting if they sit next to each other. Then we can really see what the vibe is like. So.
You never know. I mean, you know, tennis players are sort of used to having to go into situations and, you know, play doubles with, you know, person you competed against and what have you. So I think they'll handle it professionally. They're on the same team now. But that doesn't mean it's all hunky-dory there. So we'll see.
Yeah, and with Borg as the captain, look, he's so laid back, and he's going to be like, guys, we're a team. Let's figure it out, and they'll be fine.
Zverev has played all of the Labor Cups. This is the second one for Tsitsipas. He's 1-0 in singles, 0-2 in doubles. Back to the bathroom breaks. The ATP considering a rule change to get a time limit. Nick Monroe says 5 minutes.
I might go, guys. Sorry, yeah. I got it.
Yeah, go.
You got five minutes.
5 minutes.
You have three minutes.
Right.
3 minute break.
Me or what?
We'll be back. 7:45. It is Rublev and Schwartzman. It is 2-0 for Team Europe right now over Team World. Day one of the 2021 Laver Cup. Rublev Schwartzman, followed by our first doubles of this year's Laver Cup. Zverev Berrettini against Isner and Shapovalov. Pay attention if Tsitsipas is on the bench for that Zverev match. We're going to take a little break, potty break. We'll be back. Nighttime in Boston, Fenway Park, all the sights in Beantown, the site of Laver Cup 2021. Two matches in the books, and this will start our night session, 7:45 p.m. Eastern. Andrei Rublev and Diego Schwartzman. Schwartzman beat him in five sets at Roland Garros 4 years ago, looking to put Team World on the board. They're down 2-0 after the day session. On day one, Steve Weissman, Chanda Rubin, Nick Monroe, back with you. We are your bridge between the day and night sessions of the Laver Cup. Looking forward to seeing our first doubles as well. But let's get you caught up on what happened earlier today. The first match of the day was Casper Ruud taking on the big man, Riley Opelka. Casper Ruud actually got his 100th career win on the ATP Tour against Riley Opelka in Cincinnati, Chanda. It started strong for Ruud again.
Yeah, he's been winning a lot of matches this year, Ruud, playing confident tennis. We talked about how well he plays on the clay, but he got it done on these hard courts that are a little bit slower, gave him a little more time to set up forehands like that last one. He was able to take the first set pretty routinely. In the second, though, Opelka tried to make a stand, started coming in a little bit more, being more aggressive. Ruud had the answer there, but that type of play allowed Opelka to be more aggressive in some critical moments and get the second set to a tie break. But again, it was Ruud getting off to a quick start, got the early mini break, and Ruud was able to take control, got a little more aggressive with better court positioning there, showing some comfort in those different areas of the court. And it's that type of confident play from Ruud that has gotten him so many wins this year, and he got off to a good start for his team today.
Won nearly 80% of his service points, Team Europe with the first point, and Casper Ruud with Jason Goodall after.
What adjustments did you have to make playing on a hard court against him as opposed to your favorite surface, which is obviously clay?
No, as many could see, I tried to stay in on the first serves and block the return, try to neutralize his serve. That's the only thing you can try to do. And I know that from the baseline, I've been playing well here all week and trying to play as many points as possible from the baseline. So that's always the plan. And it's not always that everything goes after the plan, but today it went. And it was just super fun and feel very happy to get Europe off to a good lead.
The guy who had more aces than Opelka in Cincinnati didn't have that today, but certainly 19-9 winners to unforced errors. He won all of his points at the net. Casper Ruud has been balling out this year. Four titles. Nick, he was the first guy in a decade to win back-to-back-to-back titles. 3 weeks, three titles. Hadn't happened since 2011. Andy Murray, what are guys saying in the locker room about Casper Ruud right now?
Well, in the beginning, it was like, wow, you know, obviously we knew his favorite surface was clay, but for anyone to go win a title and then go win another one, that's amazing. To win two in a row, then you win three of them, because obviously after you win that first one, you're a little tired, you're excited about just winning that first one, and just to get through that first round of the second tournament is amazing, and then he went and won three titles. So in the beginning, it was, is he a clay court dog? What is he? But now he's showing he can play on hard court, and he's beating some of the best in the world on a hard court, so he's a man to be reckoned with.
And this is a guy, Chanda, who we talked about, Bjorn Borg, Leo Borg, his father, top 50 player as well. So he's got the lineage, but now he is a top 10 player, Casper Ruud.
Yeah, I mean, he's used the experience that his dad had, and he's built on that and creating a bit of a legacy here in his career. You can see winning breeds winning, and when you start getting those matches under your belt, you feel more confident, you get things done under pressure, that helps your game to grow. And I think for Ruud, we're seeing that, and it's going to translate to the hard courts. He has a good base. Often you see players kind of go and grind it out on the clay, and that sets them up on the other surfaces. I think for Ruud, he's got a fantastic base to build from. You know, a match like that where he gets through with so few unforced errors, still playing aggressively with a number of winners, that's going to, I think, help his game continue to move in that positive direction. But he's been a fantastic player to watch.
And with Roger Federer watching in the stands, he got it done against Riley Opelka. Second match had two debutantes to the Laver Cup as well. The Italian Matteo Berrettini and his friend Felix Auger-Aliassime. As they say, friends turn rivals, turn teammates, but here they are against one another. And Felix Auger-Aliassime, nice start in this match, but had a whole bunch of set points. Took him a while, Nick, to get this one done.
Yeah, he had 8 set points in the first set, and as you saw, a missed forehand, then a double fault. But then here he was able to get it done, up 6-3 in the breaker, took a step back on that second serve return, gave it some good shape. Berrettini missed the forehand. And then in the second set, Berrettini started finding his range, using his big forehand. Again, this court is pretty slow, so if he's able to get a hold of the forehand, you can be in trouble and you're going to be running a lot. But for Felix, again, just a few too many double faults and missed shots off the forehand side. But Berrettini was able to show his defense as well with his unbelievable lob, being able to stay in the point. And then look at his energy that he was able to show the Team Europe. And then once it went to a 10-point buster, anything can happen here. And Felix was able to go up 7-5 in the breaker. But then Berrettini was able to come back, showing good defense. And this is a volley that Felix would love to have back. One of those where it didn't need to be that good. Just over the net, make your opponent run for it. And another tough point here where Berrettini just showed, again, good defense, using the slice and the big forehand. And that's the side that Felix struggles with on the forehand side in key moments. He pulls his head off the ball a little bit too early sometimes. And then what a pass from Berrettini. He's able to get his left foot out and just make a dart of a passing shot.
Comes back from a set down, puts Team Europe up 2-0. And Matteo Berrettini with Jim Furrier after.
How did you turn this one around? How did you secure the victory?
I don't know. Just fighting. I felt the match was really hard. You know, Felix was playing really good, not giving me anything, no mistakes, serving really well, and nothing. I felt a different energy. You know, we are playing for my team, not just for myself, for my family that is there. So I felt great, and they helped me a lot.
That's what it's all about, playing for your team, playing for your family. Which of these stats stand out to you, Nick?
The biggest one is the one in the green. Felix 1-for-13, winning on his break point opportunities. So Berrettini was just able to stay in those points, and that was huge because Felix felt like it could have been even a 3-and-3 match for Felix, but Berrettini hung tough, big shots on the forehand. He's obviously going to have a lot of winners and unforced errors, Berrettini. But I love the net points one as well for Berrettini. Coming in a lot, 21-29. They're playing on an indoor court. Play aggressively and try to take it to your opponent.
Chanda, not pictured in the highlight, Shoegate. Let's talk about it. What happened?
I mean, at 7-5, Felix, his shoelaces broke. He had a shoe malfunction. He went and changed one shoe. Who does that?
You know you have both shoes
in the
bag.
You have both shoes in your bag for sure. Why would you not change both shoes?
Because it has to feel different.
It's absolutely different when you put on a new shoe versus when you've been wearing and sliding in. And it was just interesting, that moment. I mean, we're making a little bit of it, but for me, it was kind of big. And at that point...
Well, you said at 7-5, you said, he's not changing both shoes, this does not look good for him the rest of the match. And
it's
sure
a weird
enough,
feel. Yeah, he won 1 point out of 6.
1 point out of 6 know, after that.
Going from 7-5. So difficult way to end. You saw the disappointment from Felix as well, losing that match. You know, Team World, they needed that one to really stabilize themselves on this first day. But it's still a long weekend.
Mars Blackman, it's got to be the shoes.
It's got to be the shoes. Well, Shoegate from now on. It's Shoegate from now on.
Yeah. Two left feet. Just change the left one. Got to get both wheels.
Maybe he just
change
only
all
had the
tires.
Left one in his shoe. Maybe he just had the only left one in his bag.
That would have been. I don't know what I think.
Left the right one in the hotel.
Yeah. He just knew he'd need to change.
Just that one.
Two matches down. Still two more to go. We are getting close to the night session in Boston. Andrei Rublev and Diego Schwartzman. Can the Argentine put Team World on the board? And then we got doubles action. Zverev Berrettini taking on Isner and Shapovalov. Don't go anywhere. Back on TC Live, other action earlier today from Nur-Sultan, Kazakhstan. A rematch from the Winston-Salem semifinals. Ilya Ivashka, he's at a career-high 52, won that match over Emil Ruusuvuori on the way to his first career title. What happened today, Nick?
I mean, I'll tell you what, Ivashka doesn't seem to lose anymore. We just talked about how he won Winston-Salem, beat Ruusuvuori in the semifinals, and then was in the third round of the U.S. Open as well. This was a 2-hour and 50-minute match from Ivashka, but he has massive hitting, and he's starting to find the court. I've always watched him play before when he was 80, 90 in the world, and he would hit big, but he would miss after the third or fourth ball. Now he's just hitting massive, pushing his opponent around the court off both wings, and he's looking to come forward, which he needs to do on an indoor hard court, play aggressively. He won 73% of his first serve points won, which is a great percentage, and 8 of 11 a break point save. So he's feeling extremely confident, and you better believe he feels like he can win this title.
What a beast. He's won 11 of his last 12 matches. We had an all-Aussie battle. John Millman, James Duckworth tandem.
And Duckworth, he is playing some of the best tennis of his career, and similarly, it's just finding ways to win matches, seeing the lob there, hit right on the line, helped him take that first set, and stepping well inside the baseline on the return, that's been another added part of Duckworth's game, just trying to play a little more aggressively, trying to outmaneuver his opponent, and John Millman, who stays so far behind, can run down a lot of balls to Duckworth, just playing confident tennis. And in the end, gets the forehand miss, able to force play enough against John Millman.
Yeah, no, I mean, Duckworth, he's playing amazing tennis. He's been working with Wayne Arthurs, and they've been putting in a lot of work. Even after the U.S. Open, when he lost early, he stayed a whole nother week, was practicing on the indoor courts with Wayne Arthurs every single day, twice a day, and the work's paying off.
Alexander Bublik, he is the Kazakhstani, taking on Swan Kun Wu, and then we've got up top, James Duckworth. He beats the defending champ, John Millman. So looking forward to that. Before we get to social media, because we're going to talk about Emma Raducanu, but Emma Raducanu got rid of her coach, who helped her to win the U.S. Open title, splitting with Andrew Richardson. What do you make of that, Chanda?
Well, she got rid of her coach, who helped her get to the fourth round of Wimbledon as well.
Yes.
So that's kind of, you know, that's just kind of, you know, what she's doing right now. And clearly, you know, she feels like she knows her game, and she's had, you know, help from her coaches in these recent months. But at the end of the day, you got to like the confidence. And I don't know what might have been the issue in any of those situations, but from what you hear, you know, her father is very involved, and it's more of a team in terms of how they go about things. And so, you know, you got to go with what works, and that has clearly been working for her.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you got to go with what works, and obviously for Emma, she just feels that, you know, maybe the relationship wasn't there as far as just communication, and you got to go with something else that'll help you get some more victories and another Grand Slam.
We'll see. She said, I need somebody who's had that professional tour experience. So we'll see. She's a major champion either way. More news for Emma. Playing with tennis royalty, or just royalty. She's tennis royalty. Playing with the Duchess of Cambridge. And this is what happens. You become a U.S. Open champion. You get that, you know, deal with Tiffany and company. You become a millionaire, and now you're just hanging out with Kate. Right, Chanda?
Life comes at you fast. And you think about Emma Raducanu. I mean, literally just a couple of months ago, had not even gotten into a Grand Slam on her own yet. And here she is, U.S. Open champion, rubbing shoulders with royalty and, you know, really just becoming an icon. I mean, she is a huge superstar. And, you know, we'll see kind of how she handles it, how she continues to progress in her career. But exciting times for her. And hopefully, you know, she's got that good support around her to help navigate.
Love to see that. Meantime, Rafa Nadal, we miss him at the Laver Cup. We miss him on tour. But being based in L.A., we're going to check this out. Tattell, new restaurant in Beverly Hills. And Rafa Nadal is one of the investors alongside Pau Gasol as well as Cristiano Ronaldo. Nick, when are we getting the reservation?
I mean, I'm trying to put it in for tonight. I mean, where are we going? Are we going to shoot a text
to
see if we can make it in there tonight? That looks like that place is bumping. Yeah. Great energy.
That looks awesome. I mean, Steve, that is your kind of place. That looks like they have good drinks, right? I mean,
you know the vibe. You know the vibe, Steve. Keep it class, baby. Can we get Francis to go with us, too? Some news from our Tennis Channel family member as well. Oh, no more tweets. We had Dominic Thiem. No more tweets is what I'm being told. Just
shut it down.
Dominic Thiem. We've got players still to get to. There's John Isner getting ready for the doubles. Side plank. I like that for Big John. The yoga moves. Soho Yoga, Hermosa Beach. Check it out. Andre Rublev, Diego Schwartzman. Coming up shortly.
Incredible!
That's just big hitting there.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my goodness.
Mark that down for best of the best.
Wasn't it? Look at the defensive skills, look at the movement, racket head control of Nadal, and just add that to what is an ever-growing highlight.
Oh my!
Out of this world. Talked about the athleticism on this court. Spectacular. Is something otherworldly.
Well, can't wait to add some more to the best of the best Laver Cup history. 3 years. This is the fourth showing of the Laver Cup. We've been with you for what, past hour and 10 minutes, getting you from the day session
are
to
we
the
even
night
leaving?
Session. No, we're here.
I mean, we're hanging.
We're
hanging.
Here. Yeah.
All night.
Yeah. All night long.
We're going to call the matches as well. Actually, you are going to call the first
that's
match.
True.
Andre Rublev and Diego Schwartzman will start us off, getting you caught up on where we stand right now. Team Europe, 2-0 over Team World. Team Europe has never lost the Laver Cup. They have held that thing for three straight years. Matteo Berrettini coming back against Felix Auger-Aliassime. So can Diego Schwartzman put Team World on the board? And then we've got some doubles action. Isner Shapovalov taking on Zverev and Berrettini. Let's discuss match one. So when you were prepping for the match you're about to call with Brett Haber, what stood out to you with Rublev and Schwartzman?
Well, I mean, they talked about the battle they had on the red clay 4 years ago. I mean, you can sometimes throw that out, both players in very different places. You got to maybe give the slight edge to Rublev in terms of the type of tennis he's been playing more recently, the year he's had, and he hits the ball big. But these courts, we talked about it, they are a little bit slow. I think it's going to give Schwartzman a little more time, similar to the red clay, give him a little more time to catch up to some of the big forehands from Rublev. If he can spread the court a little bit, Schwartzman, I think he could have the edge for me in terms of the surface. But Schwartzman, he's not won a lot of matches recently, so we'll see kind of where his confidence is at the start.
I like how you said that, just spreading the court. So because Schwartzman's going to have more time, he's going to be able to spread the court on Rublev. If you're not able to spread it and he's in the middle of the court, I mean, Rublev hits massive from the baseline, so that's going to be a huge key for Schwartzman. But like you said, maybe not a lot of confidence. He lost to an 18-year-old with no ranking in Davis Cup last week, then won another match after that, but maybe a little confidence issue for Schwartzman, but Rublev will absolutely be torquing the ball today. That is for sure.
Diego said the best thing about the Laver Cup is that he has found his two brothers, John Isner and Riley Opelka. They don't know who the mother is. They're still looking.
The serve bots.
the bots.
Yeah.
The bots and Schwartzman. You got to love that the triplets that we have there. Let's go to our doubles expert for our doubles match. We've got Shapovalov teaming up with Big John Isner, one of the bots. And then on the other side, we got Berrettini and Zverev. Who are you taking here?
I mean, I got to go with Isner and Chapo. I mean, I'd love to see Team World get on the board. And Isner, I mean, obviously he serves so big, so he's going to be able to hold serve. And for Chapo, he plays amazing doubles, normally returns on the deuce side, doesn't miss a return on that side, and his second balls on that side as well are extremely fast. And so if they can get the balls at the net at Berrettini and Zverev aren't as comfortable at the net. So if Chapo can maybe tag a few with them, they'll be in good shape. And so also Berrettini might be a little tired from this singles match. So, you know, I favor Isner and Chapo in this one.
I say doubles expert. We've got a Grand Slam doubles champion.
True,
right?
Exactly.
So
it's been a while.
Chanda, what does Isner and Chapo need to do tonight?
Well, I mean, you know, how am I going to follow up what Nick just said? He laid it all out perfectly. Yeah. But no, I think they do have more of that comfort level coming in, you know, playing that style of tennis. And on these courts in doubles, with it being a little slow, I think there'll be more opportunities to get forward, especially after the serve on returns, you know, to sneak in, just put a little more pressure on the other side. I think for Berrettini and Zverev, that'll be a little tougher for them. They are not going to just be able to hit through those two guys half court. So I would give the edge to Isner and Shapovalov, and Team World, they need a win. So if they can't get it in this first singles, they will absolutely need that doubles.
Got to get out of day one with at least
something.
A point.
Some momentum.
At least a point heading into day two. That will do it for the extended version of TC Live. We've got the big match coming up next. Diego, what's he got there? A little tea?
Something. I think it's some Argentinian tea. He's chilling.
Medvedev checking his social media. Berrettini back in the team room getting stretched out. He's got double duty, singles and doubles today. Rublev, Schwartzman coming up next with Brett and Chanda.